One of the things that's always fascinated me about the Good Shepherd in the years that I've seen it, because I visited briefly in 2006 around the time it came out, but I didn't have the intellectual capacity or even the maturity to truly understand what it was about. I mean, I knew that it was about the CIA, but I had a very limited perspective of what the CIA did or the many controversies and the complexities that painted that institution as an intelligence agency. And over the years, my perspective on the CIA has shifted from time to time, both on a positive and negative spectrum. Now, I recently saw a very old interview of Robert De Niro when he was promoting The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon and Angelina Jolie, and he was asked by the late Larry King that if the movie is anti-CIA, and although it could be, I mean, whatever you think of Robert De Niro's politics in regards to Trump and how they might border on some form of liberal Hollywood bias, even though I'm not a fan of Trump either, I felt it was very open-minded of how Robert De Niro said it's not a CIA anti-CIA film, even though it shows the rather dark tactics of the CIA with a lack of restraint, but it does it in such a cold and neutral fashion that you get the idea that it's not really pro or anti-CIA. It's just told from the perspective of a character who is working in that agency and who, like anybody else, has his own views. And I'm not, I mean, as I mentioned, I've had very conflicted views about the CIA. I've read about some of the deep shit they've been into, like Iran-Contra, the crack epidemic, but that doesn't mean I believe everybody who works for those institutions is evil. I mean, if Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sorry, I have a tongue twist there. I do that a lot. If he's willing to say that even someone in his family works to some extent in that line of work, and he believes that there are good people there, but that there are deep-seated roots of evil at the same time embedded within that institution, that pretty much shows you that you can't really look at something like that in such a black and white fashion, because it really simplifies the complexity of human beings. Because I do believe that both pe the people that there are good and bad things about institutions like the FBI and the CIA, and I think it's important to make that distinction. And a film like The Good Shepherd clearly does that when it's told from the perspective of a character who has his own internal conflicts when it comes to his own patriotism and his own personal ethics in regards to the people he loves. Because at the end of the day, he is just a flawed, Matt Damon's character, Edward Wilson, is a very flawed, complicated, and, well, morally conflicted human being, because he has to choose between the patriotic love he holds for his country and how he holds that as a way of honoring the family he comes from, especially his father, played by Timothy Hutton. But at the same time, he has to deal with the fact that that world is a world of secrecy, a world where you cannot, where the only way to survive is to distrust everybody, keep everybody at a distance. And even the people that you can trust, you have to keep them at a distance because it allows you to function as properly as possible, especially as an agent or an object supporting that institution. And I've seen a lot of espionage films like The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and although they're primarily centered on John le Carré's works, I do like that the plots, what I like about them is that the plots are so often a little confusing and hard to truly put together. But it doesn't hurt the narrative because essentially it's a story about espionage. It's a story. Those are the types of stories that live off the type of complexity where even told from the perspective of a character that is learning information, you don't really get an idea of what's going on because it's a world of secrets that works against itself, but for the sake of telling a good story. And with The Good Shepherd, in the case of a world of secrecy like the one the CIA embeds itself in, especially with things like the Bay of Pigs invasion, it's really hard to really say what really happened or how what elements in that institution or other outside forces played a role in that. Now, Does that mean I look at this my own view, I reflect on my own views of the CIA in a way where everything is subject to skepticism? Not necessarily, because I mean I do believe they did kill Kennedy. That's a clear thing. As to how it was done exactly, well, I mean, I think it's irrelevant when you know the person who really wanted him dead the most was probably Alan Dulles and the people he was supporting. And strangely enough, William Hurt's character, I've heard, is based off Alan Dulles in a way where, I wouldn't say it portrays him sympathetically, but in a very casual way. I mean, but then again, if you read David Talbot's book, The Devil's Chessboard, and even listen to interviews of him of how he describes Dulles, he describes him as a high-functioning psychopath. And obviously, a psychopath doesn't have to be some maliciously cackling villain that hides in the dark shadows, plotting their next evil scheme. They could just be a respectable member of society who truly believes they're in the right. And I've got to give credit to William Hurt for being so convincing in that role of his character, because even though the film doesn't necessarily portray him as malicious, I think it's accomplishing what it's doing. It's portraying him as as a character who is high-functioning. And in a way where it's done almost effortlessly, where it's not calling too much attention to itself. But then again, a lot of the people that work in these institutions, and they don't necessarily see themselves as bad people, because you could say that there are some agents who are truly moderate and some that border on the extreme, but at the end of the day, they truly believe that their actions are dedicated to some utilitarian good that they have conditioned themselves not to question. And even the film, its tagline speaks about how Edward Wilson would do anything for his country, and that pretty much boils down what kind of character he is. He's a man who is a patriot, who loves his country. It's not like the bumper sticker patriotism I once commented in quoting Christian Bale and how he described his character in Out of the Furnace, or the antithesis of, because it's more like the deep down, deep-rooted patriotism that illustrates how proud a character is of their nationality, but in a way where they don't have to brag about it so much as their actions speak louder for their words. And Edward Wilson's actions illustrate that. I mean, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. But his actions dictate that by the way how distant he keeps himself from the people he loves or people he gets close to. And whenever he does get close to someone, that's when he pulls back as a way of defending himself or pretty much reminding himself of the world he lives in. Because there are plenty of moments in the film where he drops his guard and there are hints to suggest that it was either a foolish mistake or just an expression of the very paranoia that people in this field certainly need in order to function. I mean, I once listened to an interview by the CIA, the former CIA agent, at least former. I mean, you never know if Andrew Bustamante is truly trying to recruit people. I mean, once CIA, maybe always CIA. It's hard to tell. You can never really take them at their word, but maybe that's just a bias of mine. But anyway, he did say that one of the things the CIA does, the types of people they recruit are people with anxiety, people who can manage anxiety, especially given the kind of operations they're in. I mean, whether they're good or bad operations, they require someone who needs to keep calm, because they're the kind of situations that require them to infiltrate, steal information, or pose as another person in a highly dangerous environment that I think any other normal human being would probably crumble under the psychological stress of the moment. But obviously Edward Wilson doesn't appear to be that kind of character. And I honestly think Edward Wilson is probably one of the best performances Matt Damon has given, because he does it with such a low-key, with a low-key vibe that you don't really get the sense that he's the Matt Damon you see in other movies. He's so professional, sophisticated, distant, and cold, but not in a way where you really just dislike him so much as you kind of feel bad for him, because God knows what kind of psychological torment... Oh, excuse me, I almost burped there. You can only imagine the kind of torment he's going through every scene he's present. especially when you learn about his past, that as a child he witnessed, he semi-witnessed the suicide of his father, and his father left a suicide note. And although he had never read it, he kept it and even hid it from his relatives. Almost like a way of carrying some heavy burden on himself, because prior to his father's suicide, he was playing hide and seek and he hid in his father's office, and his father caught him and just told him, go play, I'll be with you shortly. And you can tell by just the shortness of Timothy Hutton's performance, although really good, you can tell that despite whatever reason he had for killing himself, and obviously you later learn it was because he felt he was a traitor to his country, or to the principles in which his country embodied, that he truly loved his son. And the fact that that was the last moment he spent with his father, you can honestly tell that left a heavy psychological mark of trauma on Edward Wilson, and that maybe that letter, carrying that letter but not reading it, was a way of reminding himself why it was important for him to have some sense of peace. I mean, there's a lot of things about the Good Shepherd that you're going to see that you probably have your own conspiracy theories about. I mean, I don't know much about the Skull and Bones Society. The first time I heard about it was on an episode of Family Guy. And clearly, that's obviously a good gag to go with, but whatever their involvement with the CIA is, it's obviously one of those Ivy League private organizations where basically the most powerful people gather together and perform whatever sanctimonious rituals they use to further embed themselves into this self-made hierarchy. That's my best estimation of how to describe those types of groups. I mean, there have been plenty of shows and true crime novels or films that have depicted the Skull and Bones Society or something reminiscent of the Skull and Bones Society, so much so that you can only just keep on guessing as to what kind of shit they're really into and how much of it is factual. But there's a moment where Matt Damon's character is being told to tell them something he's never told anything. And obviously that's a way of making them believe that they can trust him, given that he's willing to share something that is deeply personal. And in sharing the suicide he witnessed, you can tell that he's not only making himself incredibly vulnerable, but he's ultimately talking about something that has been like a burden of guilt his entire life. That definitely, you can honestly say, it serves as a drive for his patriotism, as well as his desire to distance himself from people, not just simply for the sake of being effective, but for being also as a way of protecting himself from the pain he probably sensed his father experienced, to be willing to take his own life with such a lack of hesitation. Because when you see Timothy Hutton's character, he doesn't look depressed, he doesn't look sad, he just looks like he's very resolved, at peace with the idea that he's going to take his own life as punishment for the betrayal he thought was worthy of suicide. And that's why I like The Good Shepherd as a film, because it not only does the plot work like a traditional espionage, but it just clarifies the kind of world that the CIA operates in, and how there are just so many secrets these types of institutions are embedded within our society and our culture that, it makes films like The Matrix only more that relevant. I mean, if I'm being meta in a sense, because there's a line in the film where Michael Gambon's character says that in the world of intelligence or counterintelligence, anything that is clear is bent, and anything that is not bent is clear. Basically, if something, anything that looks simple is most likely more complex, and that anything that might be presented as complex is far more simple than we realize. And I love these types of stories because they ultimately tell you that the world, that the truth, the idea of finding truth in a world as chaotic as ours is fundamentally absurd. That even, I mean, Noam Chomsky blatantly put this when he says that even if we were to arrive at the idea of truth or find some significant truth, that's how he phrased it, we would only get a snippet of it, because it's not simple. It's never simple. And even Alan Moore, who I've used in prior videos as a reference, mentioned, I mean, he was kind of dismissing the idea of conspiracy theorists, but in a way where I can totally understand where he's coming from. I don't consider myself as a conspiracy theorist. I certainly think that there are deeper mysteries in the world that we're not aware of, or we're never going to truly get the idea, and we can only speculate as to what crazy speculation. It's kind of putting a pun to it, but when it comes to any particular speculation of some idea or some conspiracy we have about something that's going on in the world, we're only just getting to have just an idea rather than absolute truth. And when Alan Moore was commenting on the nature of conspiracy theory, he dismissed it in the sense that the idea that the thing about conspiracy theories is that it's a way of simplifying the world, like that there is some evil cabal or some grand hoax going on, as a way of making sense of a world that is inherently chaotic and just too complex to truly boil down to anything more simplified. Basically, the world is sheer chaos, and that is the order in which it runs. I guess that's the best way of putting it. Now, I think that there's two ways of looking at it. Yes, the world is chaotic, but I do think that the actions of individual actors do have a role in shaping how the world is in many ways. I can't say I know it on a factual basis. I can't believe, but I also believe that the actions of individuals do have an impact. I mean, saying that the world is purely chaotic is just, it's too dismissive in my sense. But then again, you have to also look at the idea of what chaos really is. Is chaos really just sheer randomness like we associate it, or is it just a culmination of events that we all can't really pinpoint together, but they all have a causal relationship? A better way of putting it is that there's a speech from Naruto. For those of you who are fans of the anime Naruto, I wouldn't call myself a fan. I would just call myself as someone who wished I could have been a fan, but obviously an anime with so much filler ruins that. But the villain, one of the central villains, if not the main one, Madara Uchiha, said that nothing goes accordingly in this accursed world. There are nexuses, causal relationships that cannot be separated. And I guess that's my best way of interpreting of how he interprets the idea of chaos. It isn't as random and as hokey as people like to romanticize it so much as it's just a culmination of too many events to pinpoint, but they do have some causal connection that ultimately leads to a lot of the shit that goes down in the world we live in today. But we're never going to be able to get every detail because of how complex it truly is. And that is basically the world of intelligence in a nutshell. I think the Good Shepherd is a perfect example of that, because as I mentioned earlier in the beginning of this video, when Robert De Niro says that it's not an anti-CIA film, he went on to further explain how it's told from a certain perspective, but as all he was very open to introducing the idea that it's probably told from a perspective he's not aware of, because again, it's told from the viewpoint of a character who obviously doesn't know everything that's going on, and he's not panicking about it. He's actually very at peace with it, well, to a sense. I mean, I doubt Matt Damon's character Edward Wilson really likes half of the crazy shit he sees or participates in, especially when some of it involves torture or even having people he thought he could trust executed, or witnessing people he believed in being murdered because their usefulness has been overextended within the institution. But you can see he doesn't like it. He's basically a character who in many ways reminds me of Benicio del Toro's character from Sicario. I think I mentioned the movie Sicario once, but I did it in the sense of contrasting Benicio del Toro's character with Josh Brolin's character, and how although they both operate in a world of counterintelligence and drug and fighting the drug cartels with heavy militarism, one of them seems more at peace with the stuff he does, while the other one has, well, I mean, they're both at peace in their own way. I mean, Josh Brolin's character definitely gets a kick out of the shit he does, but obviously that could possibly be a coping mechanism just to deal with it. While Benicio del Toro's character is very neutral, almost emotionless, almost like he's just accepted, I am a monster. I am necessary, but I do not enjoy this. I do not like it, but I do not condone, I do not forgive myself for it. And I see Matt Damon's character in a similar sense. For all we know, he probably looks at himself as a monster, or at least near the end. I mean, I won't spoil the ending of the film, but he does do something very fucked up and twisted that clearly I doubt he can ever truly recover from, especially given the ambiguous nature of the ending and how, well, I'm kind of glad there isn't a sequel to The Good Shepherd, because apparently I learned while doing whatever half-assed research that justifies this review warrants that there was going to be a sequel to The Good Shepherd, but now it's not going to happen according to Robert De Niro, and I'm rather glad because I don't think a film like this needs a sequel. I mean, it's really just about it's as complex as the narrative is, and as highly underrated as this film is, because I'm still a little lost as to why I got a mixed reception, but then again, anything that comes out of Rotten Tomatoes is pure bullshit anyway. But when watching this film, it seems pretty definitive. It's the story about a man losing his soul, despite the good intentions he had in warranting that he had a soul. I guess that's the best way of putting The Good Shepherd. Hell, even the title, the idea of a shepherd. What is a shepherd? Someone that watches over a flock of sheep. In this case, the sheep are the masses of people, the masses of Americans who are totally unaware of what really goes on in the nexus of their country. They are totally ignorant of what kind of forces truly dictate the structure in which their lives are based on. And obviously, even if the intentions of a shepherd might be good, they can inherently be consequential to people who are less aware and less ingrained in the type of the darkness that defines the world they live. I guess that's the best way. Well, I mean, I gotta stop guessing. I'm pretty certain that's the best way of putting the of summarizing the themes and the plot of the film, because The Good Shepherd, as I mentioned, is just the story about a man becoming a demon. And not the kind of demon that enjoys doing the bad things he does, but all he has left are all the bad things he's done up to the point where he is now just sunken so low as a human being that all he has left is that dark kingdom of lies, distrust, and moral antiquity, if that's how you phrase it. No, antiquated morality that he has become reserved for what the monster he has created. Anyway, I think I've babbled enough about The Good Shepherd because I feel like I'm just overextending my review of it. But for those of you who haven't seen The Good Shepherd, I highly recommend that you go watch it because it is a great film. It shows that Robert De Niro is a great director. And I like the fact that it's basing itself off historical moments in U.S. history while still fictionalizing some elements of how the CIA was formed. I mean, many of the characters are based off real people, but they're not necessarily actual people. And I like that because it gives you room to have a much more creative way of looking at the story and not seeing it in a much more simplified black and white version. Now, I'm not going to say that someone like David Talbot, who is highly critical of the CIA, or a man like Alan Dulles is looking at a black and white version. I mean, based on the shit that Alan Dulles was a part of, I mean, I can honestly agree with David Talbot that the guy was pure fucking evil, and the worst kind, because he doesn't even know he's evil. He actually believes he was in the right, that his actions were a means to an end. But again, you don't want to look at a narrative like The Good Shepherd like that, because yeah, I think the importance of good storytelling is looking at an array of characters that you can empathize with and have an understanding of where they're coming from rather than simply judging them on an ethical level, especially when that's just too simple to do. Especially when you're not living in the world or the psychological realm that they're in. Anyway, This is my review for The Good Shepherd. I hope you all enjoy this. Please like, comment, subscribe, give a rating on Apple, Spotify, or whatever podcasting app you use. And check out the sponsors of this podcast, the first one being Spotify for Podcasters, which lets you create your own podcast and distribute it across multiple platforms. The second one is really a podcasting app called Fountain, which allows you to earn Bitcoin while you listen to your favorite podcasters. Pretty much the best way of describing it would be like, say you were to go to the movies and instead of paying a ridiculous amount of money for a ticket or even the highly toxic snacks they sell there, you're being paid to watch and listen to the stuff you already enjoy. And also, I mean, I've left some Bitcoin buying links, so check out the affiliates. Hopefully you'll reward me as much as you'll reward yourself, because if you sign up for them, you and I both get a reward. Get a reward. God damn it, I always have to fudge up the most basic of sentences. Anyway, till next time.